If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Tonight I want to preach on this thought. Your life is hid with Christ, hid in Christ. Your life is hid in Christ. You'll find this in Colossians chapter 3 this evening. I want to read the first four verses, and then I'll go to God in prayer, and then we'll get right to the message. Colossians chapter 3. Brother Steve, could you turn me down just ever so slightly? I don't want to hurt anybody's ears, and I feel like I have to talk softer in order not to be too loud, so just turn me down very slightly. Colossians chapter number 3, verses 1 through 4. You just follow along with me here in the Word of God as I read these verses. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And my sister back in New York loves the book of Colossians. It's her favorite book of the Bible. And she attended the church that I pastored for 12 years. And whenever I preached a message from the book of Colossians, she would get all excited in her pew. And she would get a smile on her face. She just loved that. Well, I can agree, it is a great book of the Bible. I don't necessarily call it my favorite, but it is packed full of so many great truths. And tonight, I hope to share one with you that would be a help and a blessing to you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we pray tonight that you'd hide me behind the cross of Christ. Lord, may no man see any man save Jesus. May Jesus be magnified and exalted. We are so blessed. Yes, we're blessed to live in a great country, but we're blessed because the nation that makes you Lord, or the nation that makes you God is Lord. The nation that makes you Lord is blessed. And Lord, we live in a blessed country because many years ago we worshiped you as the Lord and the Creator. And Lord, though we've strayed away, we're still thankful for the freedom and the liberty that we have. And tonight, Lord, we can come to church, open up the Word of God, and to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I do pray, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you take this simple preacher. I would pray that you take this vessel and somehow use it for your glory and for your honor. Lord, I want to allow Christ to use my mind, my mouth, my heart to preach. So please, I pray, as best as I know how, I surrender to your Spirit now. Please work through me, and may this serving me glorifying to you. May you be edified and exalted. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look again with me. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And if you're saved, you've been risen with Christ. You have received a divine nature the day you got born again. And let me step down here. Oh, maybe I came prepared tonight. Let's see. If not, I'll have to step down there and get a tissue. Nope, I don't have a handkerchief. I usually do, but for some reason, I must have taken it out to wash it, or maybe I let Brother Steve borrow it. I don't know. There we go. It's one thing about those songs that really speak to the heart. They, you know, they have a residual effect, and after the tears dry up, then the nose starts running. Colossians chapter 3 says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." I'm glad tonight that I've been risen with Christ. I've been born again. My spirit was dead in trespasses and sin. I had no hope. I had no future. I was dead as a doorknob, as they say. I was dead. But thank God, Jesus Christ, when he came to indwell this body and in my soul, he brought life to it. And the resurrection power of Christ regenerated or redeemed my soul. And I can say I am risen with Christ by way of redemption. And Christ sits at the right hand of God. That's why I'm not anxious tonight. That's why I'm not fretting about anything that comes our way. Yes, things can certainly get bad for Christians in this country. We're not exempt for that. But that doesn't cause me to fear or to fret, because I know who who's in control. I know who's sitting on the spear of the earth. I know who's on the throne. And so I'm thankful that Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And that's a good reminder. All of us, well, I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we'll have times where we get too consumed with earthly things. We get too bent out of shape when something that is temporal or earthy is lost or is broken or just is no longer profitable. And we need to set our affection on things above. But then in verse 3, he says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's an interesting statement. Ye are dead. How are we dead? Well, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily, meaning he crucified his flesh. But my favorite verse in the Bible happens to be Colossians 2:20. My life verse, Colossians 2:20 says, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But I'm crucified with Christ. I am dead. I am dead to self. I'm dead to the flesh. And I am alive spiritually in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he makes that statement, your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And I want to preach on that this evening. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Let me just ask you a rhetorical question tonight. Can you read verse 4 honestly and say that's 100% true in my life? Can you honestly say when Christ, who is our life, is he your life tonight? I mean, does your life revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ? It should, as a born-again Christian. He should be our life. We should be consumed with living for him, with serving him, with being about his business. When Christ, who is our life, I want him to be my life. I want everything about me to be Christ-centered. I'm striving towards that. You pray for me as I'll pray for you as we may work towards that goal together. But in verse 3, your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I can only think of three good reasons why hiding is good. Hiding is good if you're playing hide and seek, okay? That's a good thing. You want to be able to hide. You want to be hid in a small closet. I remember Josiah, he used to play hide and seek at the church in New York, and he would find the best hiding places. I mean, after the service is over, he would go hide somewhere, and we couldn't find him. We'd have to call him out and say, okay, we're leaving, and then he'd come out. but he was very good at that. He hid in the water heater closet, furnace room, or water pump room, and had a good hiding spots. And it was difficult sometimes of hiding. So if you're playing hide and seek, it's good to hide. Another reason to hide is if your wife's upset with you. That's a good time to hide. It's good to hide if you're... Now, seriously, when you think about being hid, when you think about hiding, the first thing that comes to my mind is if I'm in danger, if I'm under attack, or if there is someone that is chasing me. And tonight, I just get tickled pink. You ever hear that phrase? I get tickled pink. I won't say anything. But anyway, I get tickled pink with this thought because I know what the 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, is it verse 7, verse 8? Verse 7, verse 8. But your adversary, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. I know I have someone on my tail. Someone is chasing me. Someone is trying to get me. Someone is trying to destroy me. And I'm so glad that I can hide in Christ. I'm hid with Christ in God. That's a great thing. To be hid with Christ is a security. But to be hid with Christ in God is a second security. I like what Christ said in John chapter 11. He says, no man shall pluck you out of my Father's hand. He says, you're in my hand, and I'm in the Father. Let me read that for you. That's a great verse, and I love using it when someone is struggling with eternal security. I love to share this verse with them. It says in John chapter number 11 and chapter 10, verse number 29. Verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So Jesus says, no man's going to pluck them out of my hand, of Christ's hand. And then in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus says, listen, you're so secure, you're so safe, you're so hid, you're hid in my hand. But guess what? My hand, Jesus said, is in the Father's hand, and you are doubly secure. You're hid in Christ, and no man shall pluck you out of the Father's hand. That is encouraging to me, because we do have an adversary. We do have many enemies all around us. Even in this country, this great country of ours, there are people who literally hate Christians. I won't tell you what the man said, but yesterday while we were out soul winning, I came up, the guy was sitting on his porch, and I was approaching him, and just said, how you doing today, sir? And he looked at me, and he says, this isn't about Jesus stuff. But he didn't say stuff. And he was, just the look on his face, he did not want me on his property. If eyes could kill, his eyes were darts right into my skull. There are people that hate Christians, that want nothing to do with Christ, nothing to do with the Bible. I'm so glad that though I have enemies, I'm so glad that though I have a mighty adversary, I have an almighty God. And God is on the throne. And I'm so glad that I can go to El Shaddai, God Almighty, and worship Him and ask Him for His hand of protection. This evening, I want to encourage you to keep fighting the good fight of faith. You see, because when you carry the Bible, Satan gets a headache. When he collapses, when he sees you reading it, then he faints. And when he sees you are living what you read, flees. Resist Satan and he will flee from you. And you do that by the word of God. Jesus, when was tempted of the devil, refuted Satan by saying, as it is written. The word of God will cause that old, ugly devil to run away and to flee. And when you are about to tell others about this information, he will try to discourage you. He'll try to distract you. And I believe that's exactly what he was trying to do yesterday. Now, thankfully, Brother Bill, who was with me, he didn't hear exactly what he said. Brother Dave didn't understand what he exactly said, but I heard it loud and clear because I was in the front of the line. They were my backup. but I'm clear. But guess what? I didn't take my Bible and go home. We still went out at least another half hour after that. It was probably halfway through when that happened. But we didn't quit and go home. We said, okay, there's got to be someone out here that is searching. And we just kept on going. Remember, Satan has been defeated. The cross of Calvary was that great battle. And he lost that fight. Jesus Christ won the battle. And if you're saved, born again Christian, you are on the winning side, praise the Lord. And you don't have to fight for victory. You just fight from victory. You're already on the winning side. As long as you are in Christ, you are the victor. Because he hath told us in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, for we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. The Bible says that through our faith, we always triumph in victory. And we are certainly on the winning side. For those of you who love computers, you'll enjoy this. I've had this happen to me once or twice in my hours of preparing sermons, and it literally tested my Christianity. I was about this close to speak in tongues at the computer. but I think you'll enjoy this. Jesus and Satan were having an ongoing argument about who was better on the computer. They had been going at it for days, and frankly, God was tired of hearing all the bickering. Finally, fed up, God said, "That's it. I have had enough. I'm going to set up a test that will run for 2 hours, and from those results, I will judge who does the better job." So Satan and Jesus sat down at the keyboards and typed away. They moused, they faxed, they emailed with attachments, they downloaded, they even did spreadsheets. They created labels and cards, they created charts and graphs, they did some genealogy reports. They did every job known to man. Then, 10 minutes before their time was up, lightning suddenly flashed across the sky. Thunder rolled, the rain poured, and of course, the power went off. Satan stared at his blank screen and screamed every curse word known in the underworld. Jesus just slightly sighed. Finally, the electricity came back on and each of them restarted their computers. Satan started searching frantically, screaming. Meanwhile, Jesus quietly started printing out all of his files from the past 2 hours of work. Satan observed this and became irate. Wait, he screamed. You cheated. How come he has all his work and I don't have any? God the Father just shrugged and said, Jesus saves. And so I'm glad Jesus saves tonight. And plenty of times I would have saved my work before I got to the end of it. Because I almost murdered a few laptops in my days. But Jesus does save, and I'm glad. I'm not talking about saves some file on a computer screen. I'm talking about he saves a person from a literal hell. And aren't you glad tonight? If you're saved, you're born again, you have every reason to shout. You have every reason to raise your hands and praise to him. You're a born again child of God. The Bible is your book. God, if the Father is your Father. Heaven is your home. There's a mansion being prepared for you. One day you're going to walk on golden streets. Hey, we've got it pretty good, folks. We've got it pretty good. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We have every promise in the book is yea and amen. And we have a good God in which we get to serve. Now, I want to give you a few thoughts from this idea of being hid in Christ. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. First of all, let me say this. One of the ways we're hid in Christ is the access that we have to prayer. The access we have to prayer. I want to say this is number one if you're taking notes. Prayer is not a spare wheel that you pull out when in trouble. It is a steering wheel that directs us in the right path throughout life. I know that's a long point, so I'll say it again. Prayer is not a spare wheel that you pull out when in trouble. It is a steering wheel that directs us in the right path throughout life. Tonight, do you have a prayer life? Do you have a prayer time at least, if not a prayer life? A prayer life means that you're not limited to pray in just a few hours in the morning or a few hours in the afternoon. I like what the psalmist said, morning, evening, and at night. I praise the Lord. I pray to God. I like Daniel. He said he prays 3 times a day, and boy, we need to have a prayer life. Prayer is simply communication with God. I believe it was Billy Sunday who has such a unique prayer life that Ma Sunday who used to say about him that, you know, Billy is strange. Sometimes you'd be walking down the street with him and then he would just start talking to somebody else. And you didn't know who he was talking to. He was talking to God. He talked to God like he would talk to any other human being. And it wasn't a formal thing. It wasn't, you know, a theological prayer. It's just hey, I'm going to talk to God like he's a normal human being. Now, he's more than just a normal human being, but I'm glad he was a human being. But I'm glad he was God in the flesh. And so that way he not only knows how we felt as a human being, but he also knows how to fix it as God. And so Christ is our secret place. And we hide in him through prayer. Prayer is not a spare wheel that you pull out when in trouble. It is a steering wheel that directs us in the right path throughout life. What would we do without it? I don't know about you, but I can't speak for you, but I believe I would have gone crazy by now had it not been for prayer. Prayer is the only thing that has kept me grounded and stable. And I'm so thankful he's given this gift of prayer. We have direct access to the throne of God. We have direct access to the Holy of Holies, that secret place with the Lord. Number one, prayer is not a spare wheel that you pull out when in trouble. It is a steering wheel that directs us in the right path throughout life. And prayer allows us to be hid in Christ. The second thing that allows us to be hid in Christ is God's forgiveness. So number one, it was prayer. Number two, God's forgiveness. Do you know why a car's windshield is so large and the rearview mirror is so small? Because our past is not as important as our future. So look ahead and move on. Listen, if you've been saved and all those things that you've done in the past, they've been forgiven. They're underneath the blood of the Lamb. Stop bringing them up. Stop Stop being so guilty of them that you forfeit what God wants to do with you in the future. I've met people who would have this kind of mindset that, oh, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. I'm too bad. I'm too evil. I've messed up too much. I've done every single thing that you preach against. I've done every single thing that you can think of that is wrong. And while you can continue talking about everything that you've done wrong, or you can just say, praise God that I have a God who's willing to forgive me for all the wrong things, and put that stuff in the past and say, by the grace of God going forward, I'm going to live a holy and godly life. I'm going to become just like Christ and move on and move forward. People are held down by baggage. And that's one of the things I try to tell people that I love. Listen, right now, it may not seem all that bad, but the further you get away from God, the longer you're away from God, the more baggage, the more issues and problems you'll have to deal with later in life. And God doesn't want us to continually be discouraged and distraught and depressed because we've done some things in our past that we're ashamed of. It's good that we're ashamed of them, but we're not supposed to stop there. We're supposed to thank you, God, that you're forgiving a sinner such as I. I mean, the Apostle Paul could have been ashamed about the people that he killed, the Christians he had killed, right? I would call murder a pretty bad sin, wouldn't you? The Apostle Paul could have been ashamed, but no, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because that's the thing that's forgiven me. That's made me fit for the master's use. Stop beating yourself up because of the past. Don't let your past be an anchor that keeps you from going forward in the cause of Christ. Look ahead and move on. As the Apostle Paul said, I mentioned this morning, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going forward. I'm looking forward. I know that God is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And for me, to tell God that he can't use me because of my past, I believe, is a sin. Because what is it saying? It's saying that it's all about me, which is a form of pride. Listen, God doesn't use any of us because of what we are. He uses all of us in spite of what we are. I'm not God using me because I've got it all down and I'm a perfect Christian. I'm far from a perfect Christian. I believe I'm a sincere, genuine Christian, but I'm not perfect. But God, I believe still uses me for his glory and for his honor, not because of me, but in spite of me. And that's with all of us, from the pastor down on to the child in Sunday school. God doesn't need our ability because he is completely able. He just needs our availability. He needs someone who is willing and ready to live and surrender to him. Remember, all things in life are temporary. All things in this life are temporary. That's why he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So number one, I said prayer. When we think of prayer, we're hid in Christ. God's forgiveness, we're hid in Christ. Number three, we're hid in Christ because of the promises of God. The promises of God. There are so many great promises in the Word of God. Next week, our promise is Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What a great promise. We can trust God to supply our need. We got to remember that those promises were written for us, so we need to claim them. God gave them for us. They're in the Word of God for us. And the next time you're going through a difficulty, you say, okay, Lord, I'm claiming Romans 8:28. Okay, Lord, I'm claiming Philippians 4:19. Lord, I'm claiming Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You claim a promise. You're hitting Christ through the promises of God. Promises of God are God's vision for us as his children. Someone once asked a blind person, can there be anything worse than losing eyesight? The blind person responded, yes, losing your vision. He said, losing your vision. I'm glad Fanny Crosby, though she was blind, she had a vision. And she gave us so many great hymns of the great of the faith. And I love singing Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. I'm so glad she didn't lose her vision, though she was blind. And we need to make sure we don't lose our vision. We're hid in Christ. We have the Word of God, promises in the Word of God for his protection, for his providence, for his perception and his prudence, his wisdom. He's promised to meet our needs. Number one, prayer. Number two, God's forgiveness. Number three, God's promises. Number four, God's peace. God's peace. Worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. When you worry today, you're just robbing yourself of the joy that should be yours as a child of God. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in all things through prayer and thanksgiving, let your supplications be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall comfort your heart. And so the peace of God, worrying, does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. I'm so grateful for the peace of Almighty God. The peace of God is that calm, relaxing confidence, knowing that He's in control. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. That's where that peace comes from. You know what else gives us peace? It is a love for the Word of God, love for the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them, the psalmist said. Great peace comes from loving the Word of God. We have peace because we're hid in Christ. Prayer hides us in Christ. God's forgiveness causes us to be hid in Christ. God's promises cause us to be hid in Christ. God's peace causes us to be hid in Christ. We serve an amazing God. And I'm learning day by day as I get older, as I fight the battles of just parenthood and being a pastor, learning every day how insufficient I am. The verse, John chapter 15, I believe it's verse number 7, has become in these last, several months, year or two now since my injury. I know he knew it was true, that without him I can do nothing, but I'm here to tell you tonight, one of the great things that has come of this trial that I've gone through with my leg issue is now the true realization that I can't do anything without him. I remember when I first was injured and had to walk on crutches. I didn't think I was ever going to get off of those things. I finally graduated to the cane, and I didn't think I was ever going to be able to get rid of that. And it's just been a teaching experience. I've learned I've got to rely on him for my very next step. I was thinking about that one day. Lord, I feel so, compared to what I used to be, I'm as active and I, you know, would love to go for walks and just be mobile. And I said to him, Lord, why? I could do so much more for you. I could spend much more time soul winning if I didn't have any pain when I walk. I could spend much more time knocking on doors and making visits. Lord, why would you allow this to happen when there's a church that needs a healthy pastor? And I was just complaining to the Lord, and I'm thankful that he's gracious and patient with me. But as I was bickering and I was saying, Lord, I'm realizing now that I need you from every step. Just my next step, I'm depending upon you. And at that moment, the verse came to my mind: the good steps of the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Boy, that encouraged me. That encouraged me so much. God, I just trust you. I don't know why you're doing the things you're doing in my life. I don't know why God is doing the things in your life. Please don't doubt him. Hey, he loves you too much to cause you to be in anguish for no good reason. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And his plan is ultimately to make you better, to make you more like Jesus. His thoughts of us are not of evil, but of peace. And so tonight, be encouraged, because we're hid in Christ. So remember, when you pray for others, God's listening to you, and he blesses them. It's so important to pray for one another. And sometimes when you are safe and happy, remember that someone just may be praying for you. It's important that we lift one another up in prayer. I pray that you will. Every single person in this room is going through some struggle. It may be a little struggle, maybe a medium-sized struggle, maybe a big struggle. But we need to keep each other in prayer. We need to strengthen each other with prayer. But praise the Lord. Your life is hid in Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Our life is hid in Christ. That encourages me tonight, Father, because your word tells us that without him, nothing was created. He was in the beginning, and the word was in the beginning, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were created by him and for him. And he has that almighty power to create something beautiful out of nothing. And in our lives tonight, Lord, I pray that we would rest in that truth that we're hid in Christ. We may look at our lives and we may think that nothing is going right. I'm so glad, Father, that we serve such a God that can take that nothing and make something beautiful out of it. You're so amazing. Thank you for loving us the way you do. We certainly don't deserve your love, but you've loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, you're so great. Bless us, Lord, as we sing a closing song of invitation. I pray that we would dedicate the song to you, that we would take our lives and consecrate it to you, O Lord. Bless the song. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.